knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
I've got an answer.
All right. What's your bright spot?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is a word of the day.
Okay. Now, a word of the day.
Is forgiveness.
Forgiveness?
Yes.
All right.
I'm very hard on myself. It's very difficult for me to forgive myself.
True.
I let things go with other people a lot more easily.
Absolutely.
And I found that there's a middle ground, and that is Cats.
Musical?
No, I don't forgive that.
What about the Seussical?
I do forgive that.
Okay.
I have had to deal with resentment towards Celine, cat, for the better part of a couple days, and I've reached the stage of forgiveness.
She can be a pill.
Yeah. So I had... a room where I was growing some plants, and I had a bit of a cat gate set up, some netting.
Mesh, yeah.
And it was working pretty well, but Celine's crafty, and she found a way around it.
Of course.
And so I woke up one morning, and she had completely destroyed my pinto bean plants.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I was really mad about that, because they were coming along really nicely.
Sure,
they looked good.
Sure.
And I thought it was really cool, the prospect of, hey, there's a pinto bean growing here.
Yeah. Very cool.
And so she destroyed them.
She,
and,
too, thought that it was very cool that a pinto bean was growing there, but she would prefer it to only stop there.
We had different ways of expressing it.
That's true.
And I was pretty infuriated.
Yeah.
And so I was mad, and I've reached forgiveness. I understand that she didn't do it to be mean.
No, of course. She's a cat.
Yeah.
Although maybe she did do it to be mean. She
might have. Yeah. The attention I was giving to these plants might be something that draws her ire.
Yeah, that's possible.
But anyway, I forgive you, Celine, wherever you are.
That's very, yes.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot, you know, Dan, it's a bittersweet spot. In some ways,
isn't
it's
that
a bright
that song
spot.
By the Verve?
I think it is.
It's a bittersweet.
No, unfortunately, Dan, my bright spot is very much related to. No, keep singing. I want to see if we can. I want
to
see how long we can.
Meet, try to find
with plants, you know, I've been trying to grow that cantaloupe for a long time, and I did a really good job.
Oh,
and
it's
it worked
plant
out
related.
Well.
I'm listening.
It was going great, and then the first frost took it out. And,
oh, no.
You know, it's sad because I was actually really trying to keep this one alive as opposed to my normal standoffish nature towards plants. As you know, I'm not a fan of the out-of-doors.
That is true. I don't know if I would describe it as standoffish. That seems like a little bit weird. Like, you have a brusque relationship
appreciate that. Look, a lot of people care for them, and they're kind to them, and say all kinds of words to them, and I very much want them to give me their approval. How about that, Dan?
Wow.
How come plants are never complimenting me?
You know what? You make a fair point.
I think I do. Yeah. I think it's a one-sided relationship.
Plants could stand to be politer to you. I'll go with you. Well, I'm sorry to hear about this.
Yes.
I was partially invested in your...
my bright spot is that it's lasted longer than any plant that I've ever taken care of before, and it's given me like a nurturing towards plants that I didn't have.
So the bright spot is sort of progress.
It is progress.
Well, that's
Dan.
Good. Yes. Words of the day, forgiveness and progress.
There we go.
And now let's talk about Alex Jones.
Okay. Incapable of either.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today we're going to be talking about October 19th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
Oh, God damn it.
That was Monday. Monday.
Sure.
Quite a day. It's how most people start the week.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting showing today, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
An interesting showing.
I've listened to a bit of Alex's show in the recent past, and so much of it is just about Hunter Biden and his laptop, and weird conspiracies about how there's videos of him torturing children on the laptop, which is being used to blackmail him and Joe Biden.
Why not?
And I have very little patience for this storyline. It's just Pizzagate all over again. It's exactly what happened 4 years ago.
Yeah, I'm really appreciating how the mainstream media seems to have been like, all right, we're not going to go with this. Let's see how this goes, right-wing lunatics.
Then they turn the story into they're covering it up. It's it's a win-win for the right-wing media.
But, yeah.
I find very little interest in watching Alex go down those roads. And thankfully, this Monday episode had other things to fill in the blanks. It wasn't just Alex talking about that laptop.
Sure.
Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. I would have very little interest. And today, we get a visit from the surviving champion weirdo in Alex's clique, which is Steve Pachanik.
Dr. Steve.
He shows up to give some words of wisdom for Alex.
Okay.
I guarantee you, you could never predict what his solution to big tech is.
You know, I never would try. I've learned my lesson with Pachanik. He takes swings that I find heretofore unimaginable.
This swing is quite bizarre.
I mean, when you got the maybe we should make Melania queen take in the ether sphere,
when you're capable of
it's
that,
anything can happen. This is the red wedding every single day. Anything can happen.
Well, we'll see what Steve's swing is for the day, but before we get down to business on the episode, let's take a little moment to say thank you to the folks who signed up and are supporting the show. So first, I just got out of rehab. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. I just got a rehab.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you. Next, Full Tilt Nikki. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Full Tilt Nikki.
Thank you. Next, Atlas M. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Atlas.
Thank you. Next, Stanton T. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Stanton.
Stanton. What
Stanton
a name.
Stanton is
what
name.
A name.
I love it. Giancarlo Stanton, best hitter, hits a ball a million miles away.
Next, Jeremy M. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So Peyton P., thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Afrocheesiac, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Peyton, and thank you so much, Afrocheesiac.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
If you're listening out there and you're thinking, hey, I enjoyed the show, I'd like to support these gents, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show, or
what you could do is take that generous spirit that you were given from your close friend, maybe even your best friend, take it home, water it, feed it, give it light, sun, all of those things that you need to grow, and make sure that you take that generosity to a local bail fund or charity before the first frost. Otherwise, it will die, and it will leave you destitute and lonely.
And bittersweet.
And bittersweet.
Symphony this life. Yeah. So, Jordan, October 19th. I will say that Alex, though he's not singularly focusing on the laptop, he is talking quite a bit about it. So here's a little here's a little taste.
I'm going to get into the laptop and the big revelations of Hunter, and not just hookers and not just sex and not just crack and not just meth, but doing illegal things underage. Raping them as a form of torture, but reportedly beating up little Chinese girls as part of him as an initiation into the Communist Party China so that he'd be fully compromised.
Does everyone
this
have to do
really
that?
This is what's really happening.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently
the Communist Party
into the
is
Communist Party.
Big.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Alex has a very strong burden of proof here. And I'm just going to say that that is his story about this.
Yeah.
Now,
Here's the thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, you could just go with, like, what they are lying about or saying.
Right.
You know, you don't have to then escalate it to heights that are just silly.
Jordan.
Silly.
But the thing is, it worked last time.
Yes, it worked last time. But even then, it's like, you can believe Hillary Clinton does that shit.
I don't know. I don't quite understand what the deal is, because I also think that there's a real miscalculation, just strategically, with the way Alex is playing this game with the election.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I hope that the polling that we're seeing is accurate and that Biden has a pretty solid lead.
Sure.
Will win.
Yeah.
But I don't exclude a possibility that Trump could win again. Then what?
They have vanquished
the devil.
Why do you think Biden's going to win? Look, Trump is obviously going to win with 97% of the vote, and that's how you know it's a free and fair election, Dan. I don't understand this polling that people are doing.
I just think he's backing himself into this weird space where it's like, all right, if you lose, then start shooting, right? I mean, the devil has just taken out the last chance for Western civilization.
Yeah, it's the end.
But
it's
then
the
if
end times.
Trump wins, then how potent is the devil's threat?
I mean, look,
you can beat the devil electorally.
You know what? That's what a lot of people don't know about the fall. The devil just lost the election. It was God and the devil running for God, and the devil lost, and that was it.
Jeff Probst came over and extinguished the devil's torch.
Yeah, that was it. It's just a simple election.
Sorry.
Everybody's made a big deal out of good and evil, man. Come on.
Beelzebub, the tribe has spoken.
Look, whenever God was elected, the center right took part. All right.
I just want to bring light to the people. You're out of here.
Get out of here.
God had an alliance with Gaia, and they voted the devil or something.
I feel like the devil sounds like Bernie Sanders now in my head, now that I know the devil lost the election.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's a bad move. But I do just see shades of the last election and like sort of some of those washed over strategies.
Yeah.
And that until proof is presented otherwise, that's kind of the ballpark I'm living in.
Yeah. So far, what it does look like we're living through is like them going, well, it worked last time, and then looking around at everybody, seeing them like a little bit different. They've learned. It is almost heartwarming to see that there is a small percentage of the population that is still capable of learning. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Alex, on the other hand, is not.
Because he doesn't
do any preparation, and he doesn't read, and it becomes very clear right here.
And it goes on from there. Sweden to start lockdowns as the world's 12th highest COVID, 9th death rate. Totally made up garbage. They had the lowest rate in Europe.
Alex accidentally read that headline, didn't have a spin for it, so just had to deny
it. Made up. Bullshit.
Fake news.
Nope. Disagrees with me. I disagree with it. Bye.
Alex didn't know where that headline was going to end when he started it. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Do you think every time he reads headlines when he's off the air, he has that roller coaster ride of like, ooh, this one's going to be good for me. Oh, no.
If he does, I understand not reading.
Yeah.
Because that would be very intense.
That's an exhausting day.
It'd be unpleasant.
Yeah, just reading like 20 headlines is an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Damn.
So we know that Alex likes fake Thomas Jefferson quotes.
Sure.
But here we get another quote from a different person, and we can see if this is real. Okay. Spoiler alert, it's not.
Oh, damn it.
Trump knows he's going to win the election. Winning isn't everything. As Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes. The threat is real.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Here we are, toe-to-toe with the New World Order. The Chi-Coms, the global master bankers, the genetic engineers, big tech, all the left, devil worshippers worldwide, radical Islam aligned with them, with their great general Satan in command, fusing together through a world fascist system all these disparate groups into a giant battle axe to try to destroy what's left of Christendom. Only our slumber empowers the devil. We must awaken and become born again.
This is why his show sucks.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so jarring to even go back to that February 2016 episode where it's like, there's not a devil you're fighting against.
Nope.
In 2020, you're fighting against
the fucking literal
devil.
It is really...
It's annoying.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to remember that I'm supposed to take seriously. Like in 2016, we're taking his political viewpoint seriously.
At least engaging
with them on their own level.
Yeah.
But
approaching it from the position of, is it possible that this is, there's merit to this?
Yeah.
Almost always there isn't. But now it's almost impossible to behave that way.
I mean, it's literally like, even for me to engage with him on the possible merits,
yeah,
I then presuppose that the devil is real.
Right.
And then based on the plans that he says the devil has
from thousands of years back that are
exactly
culminating now.
Right.
And I have to
divine the intent of the devil.
So way back when in biblical times,
yes,
this here devil, he had a plan.
Okay.
And the devil's plan was meddle around.
Yep.
Poke people with that fork of his.
Yep.
Create a really, really hot resort.
It's going to be so hot.
Yeah, but it'll be miserable.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Bad, bad resort.
Nobody like it.
Very
Who
hot.
Runs it, Trump? All right.
Then the culmination of this plan is Joe Biden running for president.
It's hard to imagine that, like,
I don't know, back in the days of, like, the prophets and, you know, the Old Testament, they'd be like, yes, the devil, the greatest trick he's trying to pull off is center-right presidency.
Man, see, this is where we keep getting back to the problem with making your enemy imaginary is then the limits of your enemy are your own imagination. So what you accidentally reveal is how little you are capable of imagining things. Like, I am not afraid of this devil.
No.
The devil that I am afraid of has powers beyond what I can even imagine, simply because I imagine him to have those powers, not getting Joe Biden elected.
Yeah, any devil that's worth being afraid of, you can't beat.
Exactly. Impossible. Yeah, it's the devil. It's the literal devil. It's eternal. If you can win against eternal with Joe Biden, then there's nothing.
Or with Trump.
Either way.
If you can beat, again, if you can beat the devil at the ballot box, that's not a great devil.
That's not a good devil.
If the devil follows contract law.
I love contract law being an issue.
Anyway, that's not a Stalin quote.
No.
That quote predates Stalin.
Probably.
And it was something very close to it was attributed to Stalin in his secretary's memoirs. But those didn't come out until quite a while later. Mm-hmm. And there are existing formulations of this quote that predate Stalin being in power.
Sure.
And so, that's just one of those fun anti-communist isms that Alex throws around.
I imagine that sentiment has been around since, like, the third election in Greece, where somebody was like, I don't think that motherfucker counted my vote.
Yeah.
That's where it began. That's the quote.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't doubt something similar to that.
Yeah.
So I think that this next clip really sums up Alex's show. If you just imagine in the background of this quote, there is a devil. There's a literal devil.
There's a literal devil, yeah.
All right. I'm going to give the number out here in a moment. I'll start taking some calls. Next segment, I've got huge COVID news. It's absolutely got to be hit so far. With some new big developments next segment. But right now, this segment's all about me, which I don't do on purpose.
That, to me, is like...
I don't do on purpose. It's your show.
Yeah.
Everything you do is on purpose.
It should be.
Yeah.
That to me is like, that's really distilled Alex Jones' show. There's a lot of big news. I'm going to take some calls, but this segment is about
me. It's about me. And I'm not going to take any responsibility for any of it.
No, it's basically about how everyone's getting censored on online.
Sure.
And
I told you
it was going to happen, conservatives. And he has an example of somebody who has become afoul of being kicked off something. Facebook, maybe Twitter, I'm not sure.
You wake up in a total tyranny. This Facebook suspends user Jamie Allman's account after shows a huge rally
of
black Americans for Trump in D.C. But that gets banned because it's hateful.
I don't know exactly what's going on with this situation, but Jamie Allman is a St. Louis media figure who is no stranger to having his social media accounts locked. In 2018, Twitter temporarily suspended his account after he tweeted, quote, I've been hanging out getting ready to ram a hot poker up David Hogg's ass tomorrow.
Huh.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported, quote, the context for his comment was unclear. In the fallout from this bizarre threat, Allman lost a ton of sponsors on his radio shows, which ultimately led to him losing two St. Louis media jobs.
Sure.
Then, because you get a million chances in life if you're a conservative who's willing to say horrible things, Allman was hired back in 2019 to morning radio. Then, in April of this year, NBC5 in St. Louis investigated a leaking of the personal information of hundreds of city residents who'd submitted tips about businesses not following COVID-19-related health guidance. Approximately 900 people had called in tips under the condition of anonymity. According to the report, quote, some were reporting their bosses. These sort of tips are technically public records, so they are not, you know, they're not released automatically, but they are subject to sunshine laws.
Sure.
Which Jamie Allman used to dox these St. Louis residents on his radio show and on social media, labeling them snitches.
Wow. I mean, I don't disagree with the characterization of snitches. They are snitching. That's fair. On the other hand, he can go fuck himself. Yeah. What a giant piece of shit.
Yeah,
there's no
sucks.
Reason to be a good person. Mm-hmm. If you got this fucker like roving around trying to scoop up any information he can to destroy you.
Yeah, it's like, and I threatened to put a hot poker up a school shooting survivor's ass.
Yeah,
then I lost my sponsors and got fired, and then I got another job in the same field. Why should he ever have any fear of like any lingering lasting consequences?
And also, why, if you've hired him, do you not immediately like knock on his door anytime anything goes wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, somebody leaked this information. Get to his door, quick!
Get me Allman.
Hurry! He's leaving through the window!
Yeah. So I have no idea what the deal is with his account getting locked this time, but I'm not going to believe the version that's being pushed by Gateway Pundit and that he just posted a video of black Trump supporters and he got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certain that there's more to this story, but I also don't care what a conservative troll did and is now pretending he didn't do.
Good call.
In order to feign victimhood.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jamie Allman. Another, and Alex is pretending he's not like some right-wing media figure. He's regional, and Alex doesn't really give a fuck about Missouri. So
sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But
he wouldn't know anything about him.
He's not some private citizen who posted. I mean, I guess he is a private citizen, but he's also a media figure.
Sure.
Anyway, Alex has gone on the record and said that the false flaggery in Michigan, the militias,
yes,
who were planning to
totally
kidnap Gretchen Whitmer,
100% false flag.
False flag.
The devil.
Alex has been vindicated.
Okay.
Media Matters. George Soros' group. This is didn't age well. This is from just 2 weeks ago. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones alleged kidnapping plot against Michigan Governor Whitmer, a false flag by the deep state. Set up by FBI informants. I predicted that it was run by FBI informants. I said probably two of the top people, probably two out of the 10. That's usually how it works. And yes, it was led by two FBI operatives. Now all confirmed in court documents, exactly as I said, which is because I know what I'm talking about.
It's not confirmed in court documents. There's the defense is claiming.
Sure.
I mean, like, yeah, of course
it's
they are.
It's proved in court.
Of course they are.
The defense put it in court, and then everybody knows that means it's true.
I think that, you know, we need to see how these things play out. More information about specifics is needed for me to make a stronger telling of what happened.
Mm.
But from everything I can tell, it looks like there were some militia people who are notoriously not careful.
Yes.
And they had informants who were infiltrated.
Yeah.
Who had infiltrated them, but they were talking about kidnapping Northam and Whitmer, and then they got arrested.
Yeah.
And of course, if that were the situation, your defense would be like, they set us up.
Yeah.
It's the only angle you have, because there's like recordings and text messages.
Well, yeah, you got to say that they set you up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, look, the FBI has set up, like, part of their counterterrorism strategy is find people who maybe might want to think about doing something and then, like, push them as hard as they can towards causing terrorism and then being like, ha ha, we caught you. Like, that's kind of one thing they do. But with these guys, you can just walk up to, you know, you Google 4chan and then you've infiltrated six of these militias. They're not smart.
I'm not saying that police and law enforcement don't do that, because are instances of that.
Yeah.
But it's just as lazy to assume that they always do that as it is to assume they don't.
Sure.
You know, and so I think one of the reasons that we know about the existence of those sorts of things is because those are outliers.
Right.
And I don't know. Again, one of the reasons why I feel like we need more information is because of the story is fairly unclear. But from everything I can tell, it's not a bunch of feds setting up people. But anyway, here's Alex's clip of himself from the past predicting that this was
He's playing his own "I told you so" clip.
Yeah, because he wants
what a petty
asshole. He wants to rub it in Media Matters' face.
Fucking dick.
And what other false flags are we going to see now? Because this is definitely probably a provocateur to action. But I mean, what do you do? What if the governor said you can never leave your house again? You got to starve to death. Just lay down and die, I guess. Because the power to shut things down is the power to bankrupt. It's the power to kill. What about all the folks committed suicide because of her? What about all the folks that again, died because she sent COVID patients there? Well, she's the governor. She's above the law. She's God.
Wait, so you're in favor of kidnapping
her? I'm pretty sure he's justifying her kidnapping, right? Yes. He's saying it's totally good to kidnap her.
He's saying it's a false flag, but also
she should have been kidnapped. Somehow he's like, yeah, it's a fucking false flag. I wish it weren't.
Yeah, but also a militia does need to incarcerate her in a basement.
What? This is something I totally would want my people to do.
Yeah.
But in this circumstance, it's a false flag.
Well, because they did, and it didn't work.
Yeah. It didn't work. Yeah.
And,
so it's a false flag.
They got busted, so that's the feds.
That's the feds. Must be.
Cool.
Only way a real patriot would get busted is if they've already kidnapped
her. Yeah, that to me was very strange in terms of like, haha, here's my gotcha. Your gotcha is saying it's definitely probably a false flag, which
totally.
I don't know what that means.
Definitely, probably.
And then being like, yeah, but come on.
Wouldn't you want to see her kidnapped, though?
Yeah, all right.
Jesus.
Anyway, Alex, back to the present day here. He's in a battle between good and evil.
Sure.
That's what's important to understand.
Right.
And you know, there are other good people in the FBI. There's good people at laptop shops, computer shops that are going to tell the truth. It's a war between good and evil, and it's going on in each and all of our hearts, minds, and souls. But there's all that news. Let me just briefly tell you this. We're launching a new sale. It only runs for 12 days. We launched it last year. It was very successful. It is here today. Gone tomorrow. Black Friday in October.
Ooh, Black Friday in October.
We got Christmas in July. We got Black Friday. I think he's forgetting the reason for the season, Dan.
I don't think... See, I understand Christmas in July because it's like
sure.
6 months,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
give
yeah.
or take.
It's a double Christmas.
Yeah,
call it that.
It's
yeah,
about
yeah.
like the sort of mirror image.
Yeah.
Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
October is pretty close to Thanksgiving.
No, it's forever away.
It's too close.
What are you going to do, a Black Friday in fucking April? No, come on.
You're going to do a Black Friday in November and in October now?
Yeah, of course.
It's too much.
No, it's too much.
Alex.
Black Friday in October.
But you know why he can't do Halloween?
Because it's the devil's holiday.
Devilry.
It's the devil's holiday. Yeah. What's he going to do? We're doing a special bat-themed sale? No, that's the
Buckley,
devil's bat.
We cannot do a Halloween special because we don't sell candy.
They don't sell candy.
Our supplements are as good as candy.
You should try selling candy.
Hmm.
I think they could do well with some InfoWars branded candy.
Why not do it? Less harmful than what you got now. I guarantee by now someone's drank that iodine.
Yeah. Oh, totally. 100%.
I can't prove it, but I have a strong sense.
You're convincing people to kind of put stuff in their mouths. Why not just go all the way with candy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this next clip is a thought that I found really interesting. And I wonder if you hear this the same way I do.
Sure.
Because diversity is strong and adaptive. Even there's a unifying Christianity or a unifying Americana, a unifying ethos. But if you don't have a unifying narrative, you will disintegrate. And that's what's happened. Our narrative now is white people are bad and America sucks and be babies. And
I like that you're taking notes and you wrote down the word diversity and then put a line through it. Those were the notes.
Yep.
That's it. You didn't write anything else down.
I wrote down, I was like, I write down diversity. That's where he's starting. And then let's see some notes continuing on. And then his following words, where I was just like, oh, nope. Cross out diversity.
Yeah.
The end.
What I hear from a clip like that is diversity is great as long as there is a robust status quo that supports my interests being primary and the only ones that are really important.
Yeah. I can't believe you would call me a white nationalist because I do not want an all-white nation. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a white supremacist. I want a diverse nation where I'm on top running everything.
Yeah.
What don't you understand?
This is really interesting to me because I've heard him decry diversity tons in the past.
Sure.
So for him to say, like, diversity is great as long as people are subject to Americana or a narrative.
Sure.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's strange. I mean, it's not strange at all, but it's strange to hear him say it.
It is weird for somebody to literally say, I'm a white supremacist, and not understand that those are the words they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is strange.
Yeah.
So Alex finally gets to some calls, and this one guy, he's got an answer about big tech. And the solution, I think, is very reasonable.
Okay.
I think this caller is... Maybe, I mean, I don't know what else they believe. They're calling into Alex's show, so it can't be that great.
Not great.
But this perspective is sensible, and that is like, okay, yeah, Twitter and Facebook are really bad.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to foster other platforms.
Sure.
And try and get people off of those, create alternatives so we could create more of an ecosystem.
Sure.
Online. And Alex is like, nah, no time.
Okay.
Everybody that's listening right now, if they went and do that and at least mirror their profiles and then get all their friends and family, 10 people, get 10 people, get them off of the big tech platforms.
Well, sir, hold on a second. You know, I've been preaching this nonstop for a decade. I've been really been hammering it for 4 years. Exactly. You use the big platforms while you still have them to promote all the little platforms and grow those as part of the exodus. And that's exactly what needs to be done. 14 days out, though, brother, and I appreciate your call. 14 days out, day late, dollar short. People better be sharing on Twitter, on Facebook, on all those, even if you're going to get banned or set up a sub account in the InfoWar, however you can now. Again, don't share banned out video on Twitter. Share 2020electioncenter.com. That gets around their systems for now. But absolutely, that would have been a great idea. Everyone should go to Parler. Everyone should go to Gab. Everyone should go to Telegram or Telegraph.
There's no time. We can't do this. So instead of any productive thing that I could have been doing in the past, what I've been doing is changing URLs constantly so I can still be promoted passively on Twitter and
Excellent.
Facebook. Yeah. I spend my resources dodging bans.
Yeah.
I don't put any investment really into, oh, sure, I'll have the guy from Gab come on my show from time to time, but I don't care about it. No one's there except extreme bigots.
Yep.
So who cares? It's not a fertile ground.
It's so weird whenever they kicked all the extreme bigots off of Twitter and they were like, we're not
extreme
all of bigots.
Them.
How dare you? How could you do that? And then they went to the other place together and they were like, oh my God, everybody's an extreme bigot in here. Who would have guessed? What a shock.
Yeah.
Oh man, this bigotry isn't my bigotry. You're even more bigoted.
Yeah. I would say that if Alex has been sounding this alarm for a long time, then he probably should have contributed to the solution of it, as opposed to desperately trying to still promote his stuff on the platforms that exist. I mean, I guess he did try to do that InfoWars dating site. There was
That's
that.
True. He did do that.
That didn't work
out. I think that one had some, like, just general design flaws.
Yeah.
I would say, like, before we even get to the website or the design.
Design and conception flaws.
Conception is probably, like, that should have stayed in the meeting.
Yeah.
That's something that should be up on the whiteboard and then erased immediately afterwards.
Yeah. So we get another caller. This fella's from Canada, and I think he should stop trying to meddle in our election.
Peter in Canada, what happens if Biden wins? I want your take. Thank you, sir.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, with 2 weeks left, it's too late. If Biden wins, the U.S. is sunk. What Trump has to do right now is do the Insurrection Act, get rid of Bill Barr, and round up and prosecute every single one of them. Biden, Hunter, Hillary, Bill, the works of them.
By the way, they're the authoritarians that have tried to have three coups.
They're the authoritarians, by the way. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Canada.
Okay.
Calm down.
Here's what we'll do. Uh-huh. Here's my peace treaty. All right. This is, I think, how we're going to solve this, right? So even if Biden does win the election, people are going to go apeshit, right?
Probably.
Here's what we do. We have a sit down between the left and the right.
Sort of a Bishop Desmond Tutu
kind of
thing.
Yeah, a little bit of a thing. We're going to.
Truth and reconciliation.
We're going to negotiate something, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We will totally put the Clintons and the Bidens and the whole lot of them in jail if they just leave us alone.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. There's some reason to put them in jail. They're evil.
To borrow a term that was a lot more popular a couple years ago, I think that would embolden.
That's probably true.
I don't know if that's a good solution.
I just want a nice treaty that we get that. We just move on.
I do like the idea.
Fresh start.
I do like the idea of some sort of a treaty. or something, or some kind of. It doesn't feel like there's a way forward without like some massive.
There needs to be a real negotiation of in good faith.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, but something's got to happen.
I'll put the Clintons in jail for you guys. That's in
you'll
the treaty. That's in the treaty. I will do it.
I'm not sure. I support this.
Okay, fine.
So, Alex is like, yeah, man, they got to do this. He's supporting what this caller is saying. They got to just lock up all the political enemies.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Canada.
Now, here's how this looks to Alex in real world terms.
Okay.
Communist China has blackmailed Joe Biden. We have the emails proving it, and other foreign powers. He is not fit to be the leader, and they all need to be arrested. And then after the leadership's been arrested, a new Democratic Party can form. And in a year, we can have another general election. And this is not because I fear Trump's going to lose. He's going to legitimately win. But they've said they want secession. They've said they want martial law. And you're damn right, sir. If they can't steal it with an overwhelming fraud, they're going to then contest, have secession, race war. We can't just sit back and let foreign powers do this. We're under attack.
So
he's from Canada.
Alex is saying we should destroy the Democratic Party, lock up all the leadership.
Of course.
New Democratic Party.
Of who?
I don't know. People who did get arrested.
What, like Kasich? Is Kasich our new Democratic
The Lincoln
National
Project is now the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's about as close as they would accept.
And then we have another general election.
Of course. We do it all over again, Dan. That way we know it's right this time. We do it every year until Brexit happens.
I tell you what. If you want chaos, that is a good way to get it. Lock up your political enemies and then promise some kind of a bizarre pseudo-election a year later that obviously is never going to happen.
No, why would that happen? What kind of idiot would actually hold that election?
Who would run? What? He locked up the last guy.
I know, right?
Also, how would you create an apparatus like the Democratic Party within a year that could be viable as a national
party? You just pop one out.
Come on. This is childish shit.
It's stupid.
Yeah. But anyway, Alex says, like, you know, he's talking, you know, Trump knows he's going to win. You know, he's not afraid of Biden, but he has to lock him up.
Right.
But then,
that sounds like something that dictators do when they are totally not afraid.
Then Alex says this.
I've talked to some high-level people today that don't want to go on record yet. Roger Stone's on tomorrow, by the way.
So that is him, right?
Yeah, it would be him then.
You know, Roger doesn't want to attack the people running the campaign, but I mean, I know the numbers, and I know the internal polling, and Trump's only 5 points ahead. He was 15 points ahead last time, and that's how he was able to still win, even though it was massive fraud. He's only 5 points ahead in most of these states, and the fraud will be so high, he's going to lose. And so all these Republicans thinking, oh, we're
now what are we doing?
Having this euphoria and stuff. I'm sorry, folks. Right now, Trump's going to lose via fraud. And the communist Chinese will rule America with the satanic pedophile Democrats who love to rape little girls.
Well, all right.
I mean, he sounds fairly resigned to it. In kind of a more positive. It wasn't like, and then we have to go kill everybody. It was
I don't
more
think
just
he
like,
had time before the commercial to ramp up.
That's true.
I think he didn't realize he was going to get that extreme until the music started.
Right.
And then he's like, ah, shit.
And then the communist Chinese are just going to
run everything.
Fine. If that's what you guys want.
Trump's only up by 5 in secret polls.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Secret polls.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off.
Much like Laura Loomer's secret polls.
Yeah, no kidding.
So earlier in the episode, we heard Alex accidentally read an article's headline about Sweden without knowing anything about what was going on.
Sure.
And then just having to be like, nah. He does this again about Brazil.
Sure.
And this is interesting.
But look at this headline. Brazil's major state, run by a communist, calls for mandatory COVID vaccinations to buy or sell. And the communist state is now buying 46 million doses.
So that headline he's reading makes no sense, given that we all know that Alex loves Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro!
Who is the president of Brazil, and thus we know that the country is not run by a communist. Alex is saying that there's a Brazilian state that's run by a communist, but because he doesn't know this story at all, he's stammering, and you can even hear him second-guessing as he reads it on air. The story is about the governor of São Paulo, João Dória. Doria is not a communist, and in fact was the host of the Brazilian version of The Apprentice, partially because he's a famous businessman and is worth almost $50 million.
Hmm.
Alex or one of his employees saw that Doria is a member of the Brazilian Social Democratic Party and decided that makes him a communist. In reality, that's a fairly centrist party in Brazil, and was actually the main governmental opposition to the more socialist Workers' Party, which included figures like Lula and Dilma Rousseff.
I imagine Alex spends all of his time reading foreign news just going like, why don't you name things the way I name things?
Why'd you name things right?
Wait, so what? Who's the party in Australia? Labor is the good guys? What are we doing here?
If all you know is the name, then Social Democratic Party might make you think the guy's a communist.
Sure.
But if he were, he would probably be a member of the Communist Party of Brazil, or possibly the Democratic Labor Party,
no, those
or even
are the
Workers' Party.
Those are the secretly capitalist parties.
Oh, sure.
You see, it's an upside-down world.
Little things like this showcase Alex's lack of depth in terms of any kind of reporting that he's doing. He has no idea what this story is about, other than that it's a foreign politician doing something he doesn't like, so go ahead, let's claim he's a commie.
Totally.
Also, Alex doesn't know this, so let's hope he doesn't find out that actually Bolsonaro was elected president as a member of the Social Liberal Party.
Ooh.
Which is actually super right wing.
Uh-oh.
That would just confuse the poor boy.
No, we can't. Don't even get started with that.
Yeah. So I always find it really interesting when you can almost tell that Alex is reading a headline. He's like, this has got to be a misprint.
Yeah.
Like, what? Wait, I like Brazil.
No, that's not how they... That's not the words they... I wonder what would happen if somebody just removed Bolsonaro's name from all the headlines and just put social liberal politician. How different would his coverage just be?
Well, to be fair, he's an independent now. He left the social liberal.
Sure. But do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is that all it takes, really?
It would be interesting, too, to see if, like, no one had ever called him Brazil's Trump. Would Alex care at all?
Yeah, totally.
I imagine it wouldn't come up.
No. Why would he care unless it was like Brazilia's Trump?
Yeah.
You know
what we need to do? We need to find some like really leftist politician and brand them as like some other country's Trump.
Sure.
See if we can trick Alex.
See if we can get that done.
I'm sure you could.
I think we could.
You know one person who could get it done?
Who?
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Our old boy, Steve Pchenik.
Hey.
Overthrower of governments. Champion of literally every event that has ever happened in the world.
That's true.
Steve comes in and he wants to talk about how the Democrats are self-destructing.
Sure they are.
For several years now, I've told you that the Democrats have been self-destructing because you've had, they're too old, they're too antiquated, they're too irrelevant to what's happening in this new era. In an era where we need a businessman who's never been a politician, who understands business.
Sometimes
he makes a mistake, but he knows how to correct it.
Did you read that thing on Foxconn?
I can't have an 87-year-old Dianne Feinstein who's worth $858 million. I can't have a Nancy Pelosi who's 80 years old and worth $35 million. I can't have a Maxine Waters worth $8 million and is 82 years old. In other words, what you're seeing here is Biden, what we said all along, he's the metaphor for what happened to the Democratic Party. Senile dementia. They eventually erupted and became literally senile demented.
I mean, fine, point taken. Elected politicians are generally too old, and I think that we could stand to inject some younger representatives in.
Get Feinstein out of here. Even when Feinstein was young, she was shit.
Fine. That conversation is fine.
Yeah.
It's not a Democrat problem.
It's an electorate. Yeah.
It's not a Democrat problem.
No. Do you mean the party of old white men is also a part of a
Trump
problem?
Trump is 74.
Whoa. Let's not start talking about ages here.
Steve is 76.
Yeah. Trump is a young man.
Also, the idea that he's listing off people's ages and how much money they have when he's like, Trump is old and rich.
Yeah. I have no idea what he's trying to do.
I don't either.
That's incredibly. All I'm hearing while he's doing that is like in my head, I'm just going like, Trump's old too.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's old too.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't.
Appears to have a lot of money.
Maybe you're the one who's insane.
Yeah. Anyway, I found that to be disorienting.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing that I can really cling to, one rock. That is the constant.
Sure.
And that is that Alex does not like police states.
Mm.
I'm against police states, but when you've got a foreign power backing crazy people that are doing all this, saying they're going to cause a civil war, they're going to cause secession, at a certain point, I mean, they've got to be militarily dealt with, because that's what they're saying they're going to do to us. You've got all the Democrats saying when once Trump loses, they're going to come arrest all of us. Well, that's not going to happen. A civil war is going to happen.
You're correct.
So now, the thing that I think is really funny about that, first of all, is Steve just being like, yeah, whatever.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, sure.
The second thing is, like, Alex, if you understand his show and you actually know what he's talking about, I can translate that clip to being, I'm against the police state, but Keith Olbermann said something, so we need a police state.
Yeah, yeah. I feel very attacked, so I would like a police state to make me feel
I feel very
better.
Attacked by Keith Olbermann's YouTube channel.
Do you know
so
what
we need a dictator.
The ultimate safe space is a police state, Dan.
We need a dictator to save us from Keith Olbermann's commentary.
What if Bill Maher says something next? Where does it end? It's a slippery slope, Dan. You don't have a police state, then you get Olbermann, and then you, then, oh shit, it's all the rails.
If Keith Olbermann is ever invited on Bill Maher, it might cause...
Oh, then it'll be over. Yeah. No, totally. His head will explode.
Speaking of head exploding,
yeah,
this is where I got really like, I don't know, Steve, what are you doing? Steve has a plan vis-a-vis dealing with Twitter. Mike down.
Okay.
Mike down for this, because you could never.
All tweets should be replaced with Melania.
No, Melania doesn't come up.
Okay.
But this plan is offensive.
Okay.
It's silly.
Okay.
And, ooh, man, Steve.
I like it.
But there's another reason I'm going to attack him. And the reason becomes more personal.
He's talking about Jack from Twitter.
Since he decided to become personal with Trump and use Hunter Biden and started to threaten our own president and our own people, including me. And that is, Grinnell has to ask Dorsey, isn't it amazing for the past 15 years you've been considered the Bachelor of the Year? What does that really mean, Dorsey? Now, remember, Grinnell is proud he's gay, and I have no problems with somebody being gay. I do have a problem when you have somebody like Dorsey who thinks he's self-righteous, who thinks he's better than other people, and he doesn't want to come out publicly that he's gay. That is a problem for me. The hidden secrecy and nastiness of a guy like Dorsey.
Why is that a problem for you, Steve? Why is that?
I have zero comprehension of why he's talking the way he's talking.
Steve?
Yeah.
Well,
what
because,
are you doing?
Because Jack made it personal with Trump.
What are you doing? Wait,
so
what are we
if
doing?
You understand, Steve, his plan to deal with big tech and Twitter is to call Jack gay.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
What we're going to do is we're going to put Jack in the center square.
What we're going to do. Hey, Steve, this is a great idea. Let's act like schoolyard children and gay bash somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jack's...
don't care.
Yeah, I don't.
Here's how he should have responded. Don't care.
Yeah.
See, you don't need a take. You don't need a take on how to call somebody.
And quite frankly, that should be what Steve... he shouldn't care either. Yeah. I don't understand this plan. So Grinnell is...
I mean, because here's what he's saying. I don't care if he's gay. What I don't like is somebody I don't know not lying to me about something that it's not my business to know.
Well, sort of. I think also this harkens back to like old school anti-communism and the days when someone's sexuality could be used to blackmail them and stuff.
House un-American.
I think that's what, I mean, again, Steve is 76.
Yeah, well, that's true. He might be too old for Congress, I'll tell you
he
that
might be
right
too
now.
Old for this fucking phone call. I just don't understand this. Like, anyway, this is not just something that Steve is thinking up. This is a plan that he wants to put into action, and he also seems a little bit pissed about some bad customer service that he got. He used to use Square, right, which Jack started as well.
Sure.
And I think Steve's still a little mad about
that. All right.
Number one, when I owned Twitter, the stock years ago, I couldn't find out where their office was. No one answered. Then when we were using Square, guess what happened? They said they don't work on Saturdays and Sundays. Well, Dorsey, you got multi-billion dollars, but the one thing you can't cover up is the fact that you are covert or homosexual.
Whoa!
What the hell
what
is going on?
What the fuck just happened there?
This show.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't even know what to say. Like, when I'm listening to this, I'm like, wow, these people's brains work in such bizarre.
I don't understand. That's just wild.
Steve's screaming about, like, not getting customer service when he used Square because they took weekends off, and then somehow he's going to get back at Jack by calling Jesus. Him gay.
What in God?
I don't know.
When we overthrew Rome, Brutus didn't take my advice. I said what we should have done is called Julius a dick, but it didn't go that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve's seen better days. In terms of, like, sinister plotting.
Whoa.
This is just being an asshole.
Yeah, this is just
dick
baby. This
is just being a bigot, a homophobe, and an asshole.
Yeah, this is stuff that should get... Look, like, shut up, old man. Write a letter.
Yeah. Whether or not Jack is gay is not my business, and I don't care. But whether or not that is the case, what Steve is doing is deeply homophobic.
Yeah, no, incredibly and deeply homophobic.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Steve's big plan to deal with big tech.
Wow.
And I will say that the caller who called in earlier had a better plan.
Yeah, I would argue that as well.
Steve also has some bad plans for Trump.
Yeah, let's hear this.
We need drastic action now. What else would you say needs to be done?
Well, what I would say is I'd get a new attorney general right away and get rid of Barr. I would show the country
that
he
can't do that.
Is not...
Be a real hurt by
that. Not sufficient, nor can the agency continue with what he's been doing. Similarly, I would get rid of Gene Haskell. In other words, even with 14 days left, I would start firing people right and left so that the country can understand we're getting rid of the vestiges of the old regime that came out of Yale.
Great idea. Great signal. Just start anybody that's establishment, anybody that's globalist. I mean, you could Google them in a minute and find out who they are. Just fire thousands of them.
That's what I would do.
You know what this advice translates to? This is like, hey, sacrifice people to the anger of the mob.
Totally, totally.
Throw
Start kicking people
overboard.
Out the windows. Yeah, absolutely.
You want
to chop that dude's head off? Guess what? You got him!
Here comes Pompeo! Alex's advice is, or Steve and Alex's advice is basically like, throw people off the lifeboat. This fucking thing is sinking.
Yeah.
We got 2 weeks till the election. Fucking sacrifice whoever you got. Take down the entire FBI.
Why not? Yeah. Do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Man,
that is to me an indication of people who are doing well and are thrilled about their prospects.
Hey, no, he's only ahead by 5 points in the internal
secret polls.
You have to be so far gone down the rabbit hole of bullshit to believe that Trump would ever even think of getting rid of Barr
at this point.
I mean, if Trump makes Barr feel bad, Barr has everything. Like, it is ridiculous. Barr owns Trump, like, forever.
Seems like, based on the, I hate to put on my Steve Pachenik psychiatrist
hat.
Seems like, based on the psychology of the individuals, it seems, yeah.
I mean, Barr is trying
I would bet on him over Trump.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Barr is inserting the Department of Justice in as a defendant for Trump's libel case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the level of Barr knows everything, is involved in covering up every crime, is doing everything. There's no way you fuck up your fixer.
Mm-mm.
That's not happening.
No. So we got one last clip here from Steve's appearance.
Sure.
And it comes after Alex talking about what a class act Trump is. Because Trump, after Alex's second wedding, Trump called and wanted to talk to Alex's wife about how, like, oh, great blessings on your union.
Sure.
And Steve says this, and I swear, it's just like, sometimes he'll come in and it's like, oh, it's a racist day. Oh, it's an anti-Semitic day.
Today it's a homophobic day.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
The good news is that he understood that your wife was better looking than you.
Exactly.
That's why. Don't forget, he likes women. And good God, and I'm glad he likes women. That's been a unique feature of our president.
What is fucking happening?
I don't know.
That's also a dig at Michelle? What are we doing?
Yeah, probably.
Totally.
I'm confused.
Oh man, these people are nuts.
Yeah. It was a jarring appearance on Steve's part.
All right, man. Just go back to your towny bar at 10 a.m. and then go to bed at 9. Just fucking leave us alone, you old bastard.
So Steve leaves, and Alex gets to rambling about how he's always right, and Trump's going to win no matter what.
My gut's never wrong because it's just thousands of data points integrated into the subconscious, and then the spirit makes the decision. If they held the election today, Trump's going to lose because of massive fraud. He's got to get his points way up above her, not just 5, 10 points, 15, 20 points
her?
To beat the fraud.
Her? And do we wish we were running against somebody else?
Overwhelming landslide. They're going to contest it, folks. So just anywhere you slice it, this is a foreign outside takeover of the country, literally.
Yeah, so no matter what, Trump's going to win. But you know, he's probably going to lose if they do it today because of cheating. And the her part is partially, I think, subconscious Hillary stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think the other part is prior to this, they'd been talking about how Kamala Harris is going to be the actual president.
Oh, okay.
Because Joe Biden's just going to be watching his stories or whatever.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Yeah. You know what I want? I want to continue this reign of having no idea who's in charge of anything at any given point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely prefer it be handled by some weird vice president, president, double team that's going on. That sounds great. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So Alex takes some calls, and the first fella here accuses Alex of lying about the FBI
Ooh.
And the Hunter Biden
story. I like it.
And Alex does not take this well.
Okay.
You know damn well that the FBI has not confirmed anything.
No, they've confirmed they had the laptop.
It's being harangued by
Dude, you're trying to call into this show and gaslight us that Hunter Biden and his dad. Okay, did his dad get up on C-SPAN and say that they were investigating us? So I went and said, I won't give you $1 million, and they fired the prosecutor.
Listen to me, boy. All right,
okay, we're done with you. We're done with you, boy. You're the punk. Okay.
No, you're.
You
the
think
punk.
You call in here and gaslight my audience? You don't do that. You're a joke. If I had more time, I'd keep you on, but I got to get to other callers.
If I had more time.
It's a time thing.
You fucking coward.
It's a time
Just
thing.
Just say you didn't like him, and that's why he's gone.
It's a time thing.
I didn't want to beat up on you with all my facts, so I don't have time for it.
Well, honestly, I think what happened there, if I had to guess what the sort of like logic tree that Alex's brain went down, it was, all right, this guy obviously knows that I'm embellishing the shit out of this story.
Yeah, totally.
And what the FBI has confirmed and all this.
Right.
That is trouble. So what I'm going to do is see if I can get him dancing around this clip of Biden and the prosecutor.
Sure.
I'm going to see if I can get him to take the bait on arguing about that.
Yeah.
And he just said, no, I'm not
jingle
even,
some keys over here. And that guy was like, I'm not interested.
I'm ignoring
in
the keys.
Don't care about the keys.
Yeah.
I'm not a child.
And that's why Alex has to hang up.
Goodbye.
Because, if you can't detract somebody over to a side argument, you can't talk to them. And it's one of the reasons I think that call is a good example of why it's like almost pointless to try and confront Alex about things on his show. I think that there's probably some people who could handle like bringing up decent points to him, but it won't go anywhere.
Yeah, no.
One thing I think I would like to hear someone ask him, or I'd like to ask him myself, is, all right.
Sure.
2007, you're on your show.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about whatever you're talking about.
Sure.
Are you lying to the audience about the devil being behind all of it, or was the devil not behind it then?
You know, a lot of people like to argue about whether or not the devil's real.
Sure.
And those people haven't been to the extra dimensions that I have, Tim. You got to realize
what you need to realize.
I mean, the devil's in all of us. So, yes, I mean, technically the devil was in the back then.
What you need to realize is before he died, I talked to Charlie Daniels.
Sure.
And actually, he was working on another song.
Oh.
A follow-up to The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Sure.
It's called The Devil Went Down to Cayman Island. For a vacation.
Okay.
And during that period of time when I was on air talking about the Federal Reserve and all that stuff, sort of, you know, political intrigue conspiracies, that was when the devil was.
Devil's on vacation.
He was at the beach.
He was at the beach.
He was having a Mai Tai. He was enjoying himself. You just seen him in that Hawaiian shirt.
It looked good.
See, I really want to get into a discussion of what the devil's specific powers are.
You ever go spear fishing with the devil? He's got that fork.
Why does the devil fork. Need it? Can the devil materialize things? Can he materialize a drink if he so wants it?
Only Mai Tais.
Does he have to order it, or...
The devil can only materialize situationally appropriate drinks.
All right. Does he have to get the glass from somewhere else and then he can materialize the drink?
He can only materialize drink appropriate glasses.
Okay.
If he's on a beach,
right.
He can get a Mai Tai and a flute.
Right.
If he is at a speakeasy, he can get an old fashioned
sure.
or a Moscow mule.
Naturally. If he's at an oyster bar, he can have a martini. All of this is possible.
This is
I love this devil.
This is canon. This is confirmed.
Yes. The FBI is confirmed.
They've declassified the devil's powers for drink materialization.
That's what I want. If you're going to start telling me the devil is real, you better start telling me what the limits of his powers are.
Yeah, you better get hyper-specific because I'm going to get bored real
so
fucking
bored.
Fast.
So bored.
Yeah.
So, even Captain America, eventually you're like, oh, okay, he can carry the hammer of Thor or whatever. We at least get it.
Sure.
You know?
So a lot of the times when Alex gets a call like this, it ends up ruining his entire show.
Sure.
And I was really worried, even though we're in the third hour, I was worried that he was going to, like, completely fall apart.
Naturally.
And he doesn't, man. He just goes to another call, and Ooh. Everything is fine. He's not even thinking about that other caller.
Okay.
I wanted to say my mentor reminds me often, never stop an ego on its way to self-destruction. It doesn't need your help. And the way I see it is that America's ego that's been lulled back to sleep in the wake of Bernays' propaganda is destructing. But the good thing is that what follows an unhealthy ego's collapse is the formation of a healthy, mature ego, which is people waking up.
I agree, but if we have a collapsing third world and nuclear weapons, the collapse of the ego may kill us.
I guess no comment there.
I mean, think about the danger of that. But what do you think of the last guy? He says the Bidens would have said this was fake up front if it was fake. They have said nothing. Now we have the lawyers' emails. The FBI admitted they had the laptop.
I have nothing to say about the last guy. I mean, I don't even know why he's listening to your show if he's going to call and harass. But what he's saying.
Well, I mean, I would have spent more time with the guy. I just got to get to other calls. But it's just the arrogance and the con game. Like I was some 70, you know, IQ 14-year-old girl he'd picked up at a bus stop.
Yikes.
I could absolutely have continued talking to the guy.
Right.
But I had to get to more calls.
Like
now, you.
Who I'm going to talk to.
I'm going to talk about the old guy. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That tracks, Dan. That tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I do love, especially when I heard that guy say something very, very boring and Alex not say anything. I was like, that guy is in Alex's head right now, just going, boy, over and over and over again. Alex's head. And he's just like, oh, I can't yell at that guy.
Nope.
Oh, he called me boy.
I'm going to yell. Not about that guy.
No.
I'm going to sublimate that.
It's completely
yelling
different.
At Christians who don't support Trump.
That's wrong.
I just want to talk about, you know, I've been seeing a lot of people, a lot of Christian people that I believe are good intention, but they're still thinking about, you know, they don't like Trump or they want to vote for Biden because, you know, they think.
Oh, they want to act morally superior and say, oh, he's terrible, but he's better than Biden. No, he's an incredible champion that's been through hell and you should back him and get persecuted for it. You damn cowards.
Yikes.
Oh boy.
Yikes. I think that's gross and bad, but also I only really play this because it transitions into a little bit of Bible talk, which may be a new segment on our show.
We love Bible talk.
This is a really special edition of Knowledge Fight Bible Talk, because Alex gets into some Old Testament business.
Sure.
But he also talks about something that happened in his own life recently that I find almost impossible to believe.
Okay.
Pharaoh had a dream about 7 years of great harvest and then 7 years of famine. Joseph interpreted that dream as the prime minister. They did not share that information with the people. They kept that to themselves. They, as a government, stockpiled food, and then they were able to sell it back to the people. And then in following years, the people had to sell their livestock.
Oh, yeah, that goes back to the dream of the prophet in Egypt. Remember that?
Yeah.
Of the 7 years of fat, the 7 years of skinny.
So if people don't think that...
It's the same.
You know,
same story,
buddy. That's been around for 5,000 years. You don't think that...
You know, I was talking to a high-powered Democrat to show you how evil these people are. About a month ago, I had to meet with...
Let's hear it.
Some issues. And I was meeting with the local Democrat mafia head. And And he said, Alex, what's going on? It was done 4,000 years ago in Egypt with the 7 days of plenty and the 7 days of
what?
The 7 years of famine. And I was just like, they already know all this. They've just decided to be on the other side. Do you believe that?
Nope.
Yeah, so
it's funny you called about that because that. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
It is funny. It's very funny that he called about that story that is 100% true that only happened a few days ago. Synchronicity.
Within the last month, I met with a local globalist mafia leader.
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about?
A local globalist mafia leader who is confused about the simplest dream interpretation anyone has ever heard of before.
Yep. I have an interesting theory about what Alex is referring to, and we'll get to that here in a minute.
Okay.
But first, Alex is going to talk a little more about Pharaoh.
Look at Pharaoh, and they went and dug up the Sanskrit and the hieroglyphs. It's true what's in Genesis and what's later in Exodus and all that. Pharaoh's in Exodus ordered the firstborn of the Israelites killed as a way to just call off boys. They don't want too many boys because they don't want warriors. They want women they can control. Nothing against women. It's a fact.
Yikes. Leaving aside the historical accuracy questions about biblical events, Alex's interpretation of why Pharaoh wanted to kill the Israelite boys is not necessarily the consensus opinion. Going back to Josephus's commentaries on Exodus, one of the most mainstream understandings of Pharaoh's decree was that his advisors had prophesied that a male would be the one to save the Jews, and thus the killing of the boys was an attempt to stop this from happening. This is mirrored in the story of Jesus' birth when Herod ordered the deaths of all male children who could possibly be in the right age range to be the Messiah. From Josephus, quote, "One of those sacred scribes who are very sagacious in foretelling future events truly told the king that about this time there would be a child born to the Israelites who, if he were reared, would bring the Egyptian dominion low and would raise the Israelites, that he would excel all men in virtue and obtain a glory that would be remembered through all ages. Which thing was so feared by the king that, according to this man's opinion, he commanded that they should cast every male child which was born to the Israelites into the river and destroy it." This was, of course, the backstory of Moses.
Sure.
In the context of Exodus 1, there's a concern about the increase of the Hebrew population and that they might become enemies of Egypt and side with the enemies of Egypt if there was a conflict.
Sure.
But the way that Pharaoh attempts to deal with that within the text is by enslaving them and forcing them into hard labor. The killing of the male children is a slightly disconnected thought, and from old commentaries, a lot of the belief is about the prophesying of the coming of Moses.
Yeah. There are. That's one of the very first versions of the story where it's like, in terms of time travel prophecy stuff, where it's like, yeah, the prophecy only comes true because you act the way you would normally act if you had heard the, like, if you didn't want Moses to show up, maybe just be a nicer dude. Instead of, like, by killing everybody, you were the one that created the whole problem that got us into the first place. You have to act outside your nature if you don't want prophecies to come true.
I would say
that's the trick.
I don't like you calling Moses a problem.
I think he was a problem.
Maybe from the perspective of Pharaoh.
I mean, look, Pharaoh, He's just a rabble rouser. He's an instigator. You can't have it. You just let him go.
I'm gonna stay out of this historical debate.
I'm telling you, if I had my druthers, the Pharaoh and I would have a talk.
So yeah, I think Alex just doesn't. Anyway, this is the end of Bible Corner, but Alex does get back to talking about the meeting with the globalist mafia leaders. And if you listen to this carefully, I think it's just his lawsuits.
And by the way, folks can sit there and say, oh, you should never meet with the Democrats. You know, that's evil. No, it's not. I never compromise one bit. I mean, they say in the Bible that God meets with the devil. And I'm not saying I'm God. I'm saying it's an allegory. The devil has to go up and ask God for permission for things. I will absolutely meet with the enemy.
Can I have a Mai Tai?
I've met with two representatives of the top billionaires. I've met with the enemy repeatedly. I've got meetings with the enemy going on right now on the East Coast. And I encourage the enemy to stop and give up and reject Satan and embrace Christ. But they won't because they're of their father, the devil, the synagogue of Satan.
Well, I don't like that last part at all. The synagogue of Satan certainly something that a term that's been used by a lot of anti-Semites over the years.
Oh, well, I mean, sure.
When he says that he has ongoing meetings with the evil globalists.
High-level globalists.
Well, the East Coast. Do you know that Sandy Hook trial is going on over on the East Coast?
Well. What a lying
maybe
piece
that,
of shit.
Maybe that meeting with the globalist mafia leaders that he had recently was actually his custody hearings.
Okay, so just
family
because,
court.
Okay, yeah, it was the mediator.
Yeah.
They were a high-level Democratic mafia don.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So Alex, he just doesn't have time to deal with callers who disagree with him
because
he has really important stuff to.
He's got other callers to get to.
Well, and even beyond that, really important guests.
We got a special guest that got beat up in San Francisco on Saturday. We're having an event. He's a well-spoken, nice black man that wanted to have a free speech.
Well-spoken,
event.
You can't even not be racist.
One of
ever.
His teeth totally knocked out. He's a tough guy too. Very Christ-like. He just takes the beating. I'm not as strong as he is. I'd have gone crazy. I get so mad you knock my front teeth out. God, you're dead. You're dead. I'm going to beat your brains out. He didn't know. He's a better man than I. He took it. Be right back.
Okay. So we got a guy who got punched, who Alex is now having on as a guest.
I'm going to declare that punch was a false flag.
Yeah, why not?
I think he punched himself in order to make the left look bad, and that's why you should...
Kidnap governors. So anyway, this guy got punched, and the person who punched him has been arrested and is being charged with a hate crime. And so I feel like, hey, not great.
Yeah.
Not great that people punch each other, but when they do, if someone punches somebody and then they get arrested, I don't really
That's kind of how it
care
works
too much.
Probably.
Anyway, I have one clip of this guy, and it's them trying to, him and Alex trying to make the argument that Joe Biden is racist.
Yeah, he'll always go up and creep up on and sniff and touch all the white kids, but you don't see him touching any children of color, do you? That ought to tell you something. Okay, I'm almost thankful.
Oh, that's
that
a good point. He's
I'm
never grabbing on brown kids, is he? Ooh.
Ooh.
Wait, that, I don't think Alex got, he was just, oh boy.
I think there might be some facetiousness. There might be some joking.
Yeah, maybe.
It's really hard to tell if that is something that Alex thinks like, oh, that's actually a good point. Or I don't know. Anyway, who cares?
Man, I would really, personally, I don't know. But I think it would be very hard to hear somebody call me well-spoken and then trying to argue that the guy that guy doesn't like is the racist one. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a very articulate, what did you say? You know what you're saying, right?
Yeah, but that's,
you hear what you say.
That's the battle of trying to deal with someone like Alex.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Alex, he co-opts the fourth hour.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Celente was supposed to host, and Alex just, he takes over the fourth hour.
Sure.
He said, I got to preempt him. Celente knows that this happens sometimes. There's just too much important stuff going on. Like
still
not
mad
talking
about that
to
guy.
That caller.
I'm still mad at that guy.
Yep.
Well, the good news is the waiting's over. War is now.
So if the war is now and the waiting is over,
yeah.
I know that from, listening to Alex's show, constantly people call in and say,
when is the war?
Yeah.
Is it now?
Is it time?
Should the wait be over?
Uh-huh. I mean, he's pretty clear about that.
It doesn't seem ambiguous at all.
Starting the fourth hour with the war is now, the wait is over.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Uh-huh.
The only time I want to hear the wait is over is when it's the 69 Boys album that has Woof Woof on it. I can't remember the rest of the songs.
All right, Dan.
Freak You Down to the Bass.
Okay.
I think that's called The Wait Is Over. Anyway.
Was that when Freak was still spelled with a PH, or did PH Freak come?
It was spelled with a Q.
It was spelled with a Q back then.
Alex says that he needs to take over the fourth hour because he's got some breaking news.
Sure.
And because he needs to take phone calls. He has these people who are on hold, and he's got to take them.
Oh, my God.
Because that was his excuse to not talk to the guy.
What a whiny little baby.
Yeah, so he doesn't actually do that. He just sort of rambles about nothing. And then he says, oh man, I haven't taken any calls.
So I'm going to go to break, go to Mac, Zach, and Noah. You've held. I'll get to all three in the next segment. I love you. And I appreciate you, Zach's first. Briefly, because I didn't plug last hour. We'll be bankrupt if we don't. I went to top developers. We've got like 7 suppliers. And I said, I want the best multivitamin, mineral, amino acid drink that tastes great, that's natural, organic, healthy.
So he's taken over Gerald Celente's time.
Yep.
He has said, I'm going to go to calls. He hasn't gone to calls.
Nope.
And now he's taking up time doing an ad.
Yep.
Seems like there's better uses of time than this.
No, he's a very busy man.
Very busy.
He's a very busy
man. And, man, he is so busy.
He's exhausted.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights.
But now the anti-human system's here. Got you telling us babies got to wear face shields and masks when they're born. What a satanic cult. To the basics of love. Let's go back to Luckenbach, Texas. Go back to America.
Let's go to Luckenbach, Texas. Wailing and wailing.
Zach is still on hold, Alex.
The successful life we're
Alex,
living.
Alex, you said you would get to Zach.
The successful life we're living.
Alex, you said you didn't have time to talk to that other guy because you were getting to too many calls. Alex, Zach is still on hold.
Hank Williams Payne songs.
I mean, this is a good song. Alex, you're not talking to me anymore. You're just listening to the song.
Luckenbach, Texas.
Luckenbach, Texas.
Ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Ooh. This show's a parody. It's
I don't think workers' value should be tied to work.
Uh-huh. No, me neither.
But I think you should do your job.
I honestly don't. I would rather listen to Alex not do his job.
That was pleasurable, yeah. That was just listening to music.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot, though. I mean, it's like 50-50 he's going to do this to kill time.
Sure.
And 50-50 chance he's just going to do that racist impression.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, as long as he errs on this side of just
totally.
Fucking killing time, doing nothing.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
I'm not mad. Not mad at listening to Waylon and Willie and the Boys.
Why would you improvise a racist song when you could just listen to a good one?
Yeah. Anyway.
Not hard.
Alex does take the calls. They're not interesting. But although Zach called, and I was like, you should never take calls from people named Zach, because it reminds me that you had a fake intelligence source named Zach.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
To it forever.
We haven't spoken to Zach. Is this the? It wasn't the Zach, because that was what I thought. That's why I thought he chose Zach first.
No, it's another Zach.
It's just a different Zach.
Yeah, it's just somebody else.
Whatever happened to Zach?
Wasn't
Zach Q for a while too?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was
Zach was Q for
Q.
a while. I remember that. Yeah.
And he was Alex's Q because he was mad at Q.
Exactly.
He wanted his own, and so I've got Zach. Zach spelled with a Q, or maybe a K, or I don't remember.
Something.
I kind of, like, when he finally went to that call, I was like, what if it is Zach? And
he's like,
Alex, where have you been? Why have you called me?
Yeah, I know, right?
No, it wasn't.
No, if they blocked Zach's number.
Probably.
Yeah.
You can call him from Morocco, though.
I bet you can call him from down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex has also Patrick Howley in from National File. Who's, I hate this guy. I turned off the show. There was still like half an hour left, but Patrick came in, and I was just like, I'm out of here. And I think you'll know why once you hear this.
Okay.
Well, you know, look, I think what we're seeing now with Hunter Biden, first of all, I mean, I don't know if the left thought they were just going to cakewalk to this election with the stupid vote by mail and the drive-through Taco Bell voting. But I don't think they counted on the fact that Patrick Howley, 2016 veteran, Rudy Giuliani, our super agent, our James Bond for America, Steve Bannon. I mean, these people are still out here, ladies and gentlemen. Roger Stone. We didn't go away.
Who are you, Dennis Miller? Are you trying to be an... that has the Dennis Miller vibe.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of
here. I think that there's like an attempt to be funny going on, but he also just sounds like a baby.
Yeah.
There's a real
babyness
to him.
I'm annoyed. Yeah.
I can't stand him.
No, that voice and then followed by what it said.
Yeah.
Pass.
There are very few people who I just have like an outsized intolerance for in terms of Alex Guest. Mm-hmm. Patrick Howley is one of them.
No,
I just,
that guy.
I've listened to enough of him that I don't care about anything he says. I can't imagine a world wherein he has a story worth paying attention to.
Yeah.
And this fucking voice is... like it
grates.
Yes.
It's grating. It's very grating.
It would be on its own, but I could put up with it if there wasn't the also, like, you're clearly trying to be funny and this isn't funny and I resent that.
Mm-hmm.
I just said,
You can't have a grating voice that is both being smug and unfunny at the same time at me without me wanting to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, that's brutal.
Patrick Holly, 2016, a veteran. Like, he lists himself first.
I know.
In the list.
I know. I know.
That's got to be, like, an attempt at self-effacing humor, right?
He thinks it is. Yeah. He thinks it is, but he's not pulling it off.
No.
No, because he has a grating, annoying, smug voice.
Yeah. It's,
what a dick.
Yeah, it's interesting, but in that way that's really not interesting.
Yeah, I just don't like it whenever they act smug after, like... It is so many times they just pratfall and then, like, from the muck covered in bullshit that they stepped into on the ground looking up at me with a smug look like, see, I beat you. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You fell in shit.
You did.
Why are you doing that? Why are you making me feel like I'm the idiot?
Yeah. So we come to the end of this, and I don't know, man. I just get the sense that the run-up to this election isn't as fun for Alex as last time.
No.
He's trying to play some of the hits with the satanic pedophile laptops.
Yeah. Not working.
And it's just diminishing returns. It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Steve wants to gay bash Jack.
For no reason.
I don't understand what's even going on.
No.
You know what? Like, this is so weird because, like, when we were looking on our last episode, we were looking at that 2016.
Mm.
I think that I could, in 2016, look at that episode and be like, I understand everything that's happening here.
Yeah.
Larry Nichols is pretending to have inside information about Scalia's death, and there's a fake van outside his house. Yeah. I get it.
Everything follows rationally. Yes. Or at least logically.
Yeah. I don't understand what's going on anymore.
No, no.
I don't understand what the attempt is, how they think that this is somehow benefiting their side. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm worn down on satanic panic, but it just doesn't seem that potent anymore.
I would imagine that everybody's worn down on satanic panic at
this
point.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
It just feels like this isn't going to move the needle.
Yeah.
People are tired of this.
I think everybody's in, media-wise, people who are covering the election, it seems like everybody's in this one spot now where we're really not used to being, where it's still, there's still 2 weeks to go, and everybody has decided about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know? So everybody's...
Pretty much.
Everybody's trying to still make this like a thing that we're actively engaged in.
Yeah.
Whereas my general vibe of everyone is we're all just like, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And now I'm waiting for 2 weeks to see what all these other fucking idiots do.
Yeah, that is really strange. Like, because when I was listening to this episode, Alex is like, it's 2 weeks till the election.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it is. That's weird. Because I remember last time it being pretty intense.
All the way
the election.
Right up until the day.
And I do still think that this is intense in as much as like the stakes are really high and it's a very important thing and people should vote.
Sure.
I don't want to vote shame anyone.
No, be out there, but do the thing.
Like, you're right. I think you tapped into the feeling that I have too. It's like, I don't know anybody who's at all unclear.
Yeah. No, everybody's waiting for the day. Look, there's going to be no difference between voting today and voting in 2 weeks. And I want people to really, like, it is that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bad that we are now literally at a point now where I have to say, if Joe Biden shot somebody in the fucking street, I'd be like, fine, we'll elect him, put him into jail, but at least not Trump. It's that bad. It really is.
It's insane. Trump's words used against him
exactly.
by aspiring dictator
it's
Jordan
brutal.
Holmes.
It's brutal. I don't understand what could possibly happen. I mean, obviously, if he did shoot somebody, I think, I don't even fucking know.
Well, I mean, I think if a demon popped out of a portal and went, bah.
That could be. I'm voting for demon all the way.
What if
that's more exciting than anything that Trump is doing.
I would say.
That's garden variety terror.
I'm going to vote for Biden, presumably.
Yeah.
Although I don't like to talk about voting patterns.
Sure, sure.
But let's imagine that I'm voting for Biden.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to shake that is if the literal devil shows up.
Yes.
It is like, haha, I'm the devil. Vote for Biden. But I'm not still not voting for Trump. I'm probably going to just kill myself.
Yeah, because the literal devil showed up.
Yeah.
I don't want to live through whatever the literal devil has planned.
No.
That's the literal devil.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that happening. My brain would break.
Yeah,
it'd be a Lovecraftian horror moment.
I think I would wait a couple of weeks. I think part of me would be like, all right, well, at least this is new. Let's see how this shakes out for a little bit.
I would probably end up writing a sequel to the Dunwich Horror or something. And then, yeah.
Goodbye.
Anyway, I'm confused by what Alex is doing. I'm kind of interested in checking the lead up couple days before the election in 2016. I wonder, like, Alex presents this image of, like, I knew that Trump was going to win 100%. I had unflappable.
Sure.
So I think I might go back and try and see the days before the election.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, in 2016, before we started the show, I wasn't watching Alex constantly.
Yeah, you know, that I forgot that we didn't actually do, like, the lead up right to the election. Our first episode was the
January 2017.
Exactly. Yeah,
right at the beginning of 2017, right before the inauguration.
Right, exactly.
And at that point, I was watching Alex a little bit just out of morbid curiosity. Mm-hmm. And then I was also watching the debates and the election coverage.
Yes, I recall.
On InfoWars. But I wasn't watching the show as much. I think that might be interesting. So I might check in on that for Monday.
I would be interested in seeing that. Yeah,
because I wonder if he's doing the same kind, like the exact kind of same things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might do that for anyway. I just need something to make me less confused about what the fuck is going on this stupid show.
Yeah. I think they're mad and they're lashing out because by all and every reasonable projection, Trump is going to lose a free and fair election.
There's no such thing as a secret reasonable poll.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll be back. But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight and I go to bed, Jordan.
Yep. We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. You know, iTunes, leave a review. And then if you could please find a local charity or bail fund in your area.
Yeah. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm the devil on a beach with a Mai Tai.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.